And then we break for Evan. Okay. The Shabbatara tells us in the top grade S.O. That Yom Kippur, not only is it prohibited, a marriage relation prohibited, one of five Iluyim, we discussed last week, but the also Liga, the Ishto, Kilu, Iniga, okay, and also Lisha, the Ishto, the Mito. You learn it from Pidi, you'll know that not only is marriage relation prohibited, but even touching a woman, a wife, when she's a Niga, is prohibited. And the Mishnah Brua Paschim, this prohibition extends to Yom Kippur, not only the night of Yom Kippur, but the also Liga, the Ishto, Kilu, Iniga. Okay, and also Lisha, the Mishnah Mito. You learn it from Pidi, you'll know that not only is marriage relation prohibited, but even touching a woman, a wife, when she's a Niga, is prohibited. And the Mishnah Brua Paschim, this prohibition extends to Yom Kippur, not only the night of Yom Kippur, but even the day of Yom Kippur. And you shouldn't speak with her the kind of talk that should not be spoken to a wife when she's a Niga. As described in your day. Okay. Next to them, a child under the age of Bar Mitzvah and Bas Mitzvah, let's say a little child, a baby. So everything is mutter, except for Nilas Asandal. You shouldn't give him leathers, sure. give him candy sneakers, slippers. The other thing, we're afraid for his health. So therefore, we are permitted to feed him, etc. The fasting, just incidentally, the Minchas Chinuch, the fascinating question. He wants to know, how you allowed to give your kid to eat until he's about to die? In other words, I don't mean that mean. In other words, okay, after closing the kid, I want a candy. To give him a candy. He stuffed himself to the gills an hour ago. He doesn't need this candy. He's not going to give the candy of Kippur. It's not dangerous to his health. It says in the Gemara that to actually feed someone food which is prohibited unto him is a no-no. So here all food is prohibited on Yom Kippur. So you can't, how can you feed the child? How do you do that? So he goes the whole thing. You know what he said? You can't. Figure out with a child, if you know he's going to get sick, and then you give him this food just to prevent him from getting sick. And my claim is, if you do that often enough, someone's going to die. And therefore, we don't do it that way. We give kids all they want. That's the reason. I think in principle, the Hasidic is right. But the bottom line is, since we don't know where to go to line, we're afraid, just let the kid eat normal. Yes? No way. Give it to kids.
But let's say, like, I just want to
crazy, smell. When I grew up in the shtiebel, they had selling sauce.
Sure.
They had an S-ring there. They smell it. It would just wake you up. Give a little, that's okay. Yeah. When should the child begin to fast? When he's 9 or 10, he fasts a little bit. Till the age of 9, you hear what I'm telling you? The kid can eat all he wants, or she wants. No restrictions. 9 and 10, you fast half a day, as much as you can. 11 and 12, of course, the girl's 12, she's already eating Bas Mitzvah. The boy 12, you should fast the whole day. Assuming that you're healthy enough.
Is that just to prepare them for
a
different
breath? A woman who's pregnant or nursing fasts the whole day of Kippur. From up in the Gemara. One of my biggest battles in the rabbi was about this. The doctor nearby, a very fine, firm doctor, who insists that pregnant women eat on Yom Kippur. It goes against the Shabbatara, against the Gemara. He's afraid of dehydration, or he's afraid of another word. I remember it. Ketones, anything in biology here?
Yeah.
Does the word exist?
Yeah.
Ketones, something in the body. That if you don't feed the body for a few hours, for 20 hours, ketones start, going out of whack. It's afraid it endangers the baby. My response to the doctor was, I'm telling you, doc, your mother fasted Yom Kippur before you were born too. And you're alright. These women have been fasting for generations, for centuries, for millennia, with no ill effects. Yes, they say if you fast, you can dehydrate a little bit, and it can cause premature labor. True. I have a study in my ass. I keep it on my Yom Kippur file. It was a study that was written for JAMA, the Journal of the American Medical Association, by two doctors in Shaare Tzedek Hospital. What better place to measure this than the Shaare Tzedek? Yes, it's true. There's a higher incidence of births, Motzei Yom Kippur, than that night and the following day. It's true. But only 9 month babies. There's no evidence that fasting for the day and a perfectly healthy woman, I'm not discussing if she has a problem, high risk, I thought her in the regular, she's a Baruch Hashem healthy, and she's pregnant, and she fasts. There's no elevation in premature labor, defined as before the 9th month. So if it's in the 9th month, so be it. Many will be very happy to deliver before the end of the 9th month. Schleppy, heavy, so some doctors will say, but you want to be the baby, you should be full 9 months. Wait. Listen. And the chance, not a big chance, the chance of being premature, the baby in the 9th month, they're ready to come out. That's all. So there's nothing to worry about. Women should fast unless there's a contraindication. Some women have all kinds of problems with pregnancy, this and that, and the history of this. You're out there, the doctor. He tells you, you have to eat Yom Kippur. Not all Orthodox Jewish women, not a doctor. You, because you have this, this, and this. And you speak to the Rav and listen to him very carefully what the doctor has to say. But this kind of sweeping statement, everyone has to eat Yom Kippur, I reject it. Against the Gemara, against the Shulchan Aruch. You want not to fast? Then give birth before Yom Kippur. That's what you have to do. And your lettuce does not to fast. That's part of right. Within the first 3 days, you don't fast at all. 3 to 7 days postpartum, so then it's up to you. You want, eat, you can fast. And these days are measured in 24-hour clips. It's kind of a very strange thing. You can be permitted to fast. You can be permitted to eat a half Yom Kippur. You gave birth and so did Alia. Before, say high noon. Until high noon of Kippur you can eat, you have to fast till Nila, big deal. Like once you're ready, you had a big lunch at 11 o'clock, you know, and you fast till 6 o'clock, so something, you know, 8 o'clock. If you need it, you have to measure it, every person has to measure it by herself. If someone is really sick, you absolutely must eat. You must eat. And the people who are big knackers, they take on themselves, ah, Rabbi, I'm not going to eat, I better eat. There was once a man in my community in Riverdale. Now he's a Zichrono L'Racha. He's a man who was ready then in his high 70s, and the doctor insisted, or maybe 80s, he must eat Yom Kippur. I made a trip to his house, an era of Yom Kippur. I just happened to read yesterday, I got in the mail yesterday, a preview of Rabbi Krohn's newest book about the, you know, the market something or other. So he had to show the Chazon Ish. I was so proud, I was following the Chazon Ish. I didn't realize it was the Chazon Ish once. Took 3 buses and traveled an hour in Arab Yom Kippur to visit someone in a hospital in Tel Aviv to insist that he eat. You know, people are very, you know, not to eat Kippur, are you kidding? The Chazon Ish, go to Lazar, and Arab Yom Kippur went to 3 buses from Bnei Brak, it wasn't like today. And in order to tell the guy, I'm coming to the hospital, you must eat. If you don't eat, you're doing an aveira. You're fasting, there's no fasting, you must eat. Some of the sick have to eat. The question, how much? Shulchan Aruch says, if the doctor has to eat a lot, eat a lot. If not, eat a little bit at a time. What's a little bit at a time? What does that mean? Less than the shear of a koseves. That's the Hebrew word. Eight. And in English, and in drinking, it's less than we call a malo lugma, the amount that fills up the cheek. What is that, an ounce? Give me a break, give me a, don't tell me these abstractions. So I tell people for simplicity's sake, 1 fluid ounce. You have a shot glass, one of those whiskey cups, they often, it's better to make sure before, they usually retain one fluid ounce of liquid.
Less than one fluid ounce?
The proper way to do it, you have to eat on Yom Kippur, if you get the doctor lets you get away with this amount. Noi sukkah, decoration, as well as the skirt and the walls, are prohibited by hanok. You can't have any extraneous hanok for the entire 8 days in Eretz Yisrael, and 9 days in chutzpah.
What does that mean?
What does that mean? See, an apple is hanging from the roof. You're hungry, you want to have an apple. Kalamari sukkah, you're hungry, you want an apple. You're not eating the apple. An apple is called chuktzah, the mitzvah is a chuktzah. You can't eat it on yon. Nor can you lean if you're on the outside of the sukkah. So you want to lean against it. What's it many cost? In other words, you can't lean on the sukkah either. That's a matter of excuse. It's still functioning as a sukkah. Most of the apple, once you eat it, it's not functioning as a decoration anymore. Yes?
What if it's like
like a cabinet sort of like you have to like touch it, go through it. Good question. I believe that in that case it would be good. Because the door comes last and it's ready 3.5 walls without it. So you have in mind now that it shall not be booked. I think, yes. And on Yom itself, it's books that you can't even touch it. Like books on little shops. On Kalamari, you can touch it. So if a book that's decorated fell down on Yom, you can't touch it until after the Yom itself, the first 2 days. On Kalamari, you can pick it up and put it back. You look at those books of last year, there are tricks. You can kick it. You can never, 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 for this, consider to be books. These are halachas of the actual building of the sukkah. Now we come, just briefly, I cannot finish it tonight. Let's take a beginning. The laws of sitting in the sukkah. Sitting in the sukkah should be a full-time activity on sukkahs. It means you should eat there, you should drink there, you should sleep there, you should walk there. Do everything there. The sukkah should be a main house, and the house should just be temporary. Should move in nice furnishings in there, but not pots. The sukkah is not the kitchen. The sukkah is the dining room. The pot should not be brought into the kitchen if you can avoid it. Let me ask you an honest question, but I don't understand. Do you bring the pots into your dining room? Or do you take it out of the pot, put it in a serving dish, in the kitchen, and bring it into the dining room? Which one? Who brings pots to the dining room? Nobody. I don't mean fancy corning, I mean a traditional pot. You know, so you really shouldn't bring the pot to the sukkah either. The sukkah is your dining room. You know, it's far away, it's off the steps, I don't know. It doesn't feel like the kind of thing in the pot. It's not really right. It's not really right.
What is the most
they do that all year long?
Huh?
They do that all year long in the dining room?
Yeah.
That's the famous rule. The most important rule of sukkahs is teishu ke'ein tadu. You live in the sukkah 7 days the same way as you dwell in the house. The same way you dwell in the house. Same rule. Says in the Ramah, you shouldn't do something which is bodily, which is disgusting, should not be done in the sukkah. So the Mishnah Berurah had done, not wrong. But if a man and his wife are in the sukkah together and they have marital relations, that's a balding. That's a mitzvah. That's not considered a disgusting kind of an activity. I don't know if anybody does it in the sukkah these days. We'll get that next week a little bit about the problem of men who are married. How can they sleep in the sukkah when the wife refuses to come in? I have a next door neighbor who built himself finally a fancy sukkah next door. He tried so hard to convince his wife to come into the sukkah. She came in one night, didn't sleep one wink, and that was the end. She didn't sleep one wink all night. I never even tried. I asked my wife, but I never even really made a serious effort. That's that story right now. What do you do? Well, sleep in the sukkah. They don't sleep in the sukkah. So that's what you say. Your wife, privacy. How do you juggle these two? We'll tune in next week. We'll discuss that issue. But you want to sleep in the Chasima Tova. That's all the good.